desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. When the Lord gives messages, it starts with me. And this message is, told Renee, I said, this message is as much for me as anybody else, but I trust that we can all derive good from it. I believe the message is from the Lord. And I have taken my portion, and I think it's something that all of us can relate to. I'd like to speak on the subject of duty this morning. I'd like to begin in the 17th chapter of Luke, in the 7th verse. Jesus was speaking and talking to his disciples, said, "Which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Here he's speaking about if the servant had been out in the field plowing or feeding cattle and come in and sit down and tell the master of the house, say, "If you can bring me something to eat." It's like they kind of got a little role reversal going on. The servant that's out plowing and out feeding the cattle, when he comes in, it's still his job to see that the master or the Lord is fed first. And Jesus said, he went on to say, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Jesus is not teaching us to be rude. I want us to clarify that. Because when someone does something for us, even if you pay him to do it, thank you is still good. You know, say, well, you should have done it. That was your job. But a thank you still, everybody likes to feel thanks for what they do. And it motivates. So the Lord is not, Jesus is not saying that God is an ungrateful God here, but he's making a point about the role that we feel as servants to the Lord. And he went on to say, likewise, when you have done the things which are commanded you, say. Now he instructed us how we're to feel. It's not to come in from doing God's work and say, I've been doing the work of the Lord. Lord, now it's your turn to do for me. I deserve this. But he's saying when you have done all for the Lord, he's saying you still need to just say, we are unprofitable servants. The spirit of humility and the spirit that he wants us to have, Lord, help us to have that. That we would recognize this morning that there any sacrifice that we make for God, we are still unprofitable servants. And we shouldn't ever get to the place that we think, Lord, I've done all this for you. Now you do this for me. He said at the end of the day, when you go to bed, Lord, I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm not worthy of your blessings. I don't deserve the goodness that you bestowed on me. I am reminded of Brother Austis Wilson's father, who's also Austis Wilson, think senior. And he had ministered for the Lord and sacrificed and given his life to the cause of God. And at the end of his journey, on his deathbed, his son asked him, said, Father, he said, how do things look ahead of you? And it could have been so easy for him to say, well, be offended at that question. What do you mean, how are things look for me? I've worked for the Lord my whole life. And I've sacrificed, but that's not what he said. He said, on the merits of the shed blood of Jesus, he said, I'm ready to go. He was putting things in place where they belong. It wasn't because I've done so much, but I'm ready to die and face God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are this morning unprofitable servants. And any time that we begin to feel like that we are worthy or deserve something more because of anything that we have done for God, the Lord's reminding us this morning, you're an unprofitable servant. And a servant's job, a servant's call is to please the master. It's not to please the neighbor down the road. It's not to please everybody else. A servant's job is to serve the one, to serve his master, to serve the one that's over him. And that is our call this morning, to serve the master. Please the Lord with our life this morning, as parents, as children, as workers, as in being part of the body of Christ. Our vision and goal should be, Lord, I want to serve you as an unprofitable servant. But Jesus went on to say something that is not, let me say it this way, it's losing popularity in our world today. He said we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. In other words, yes, I'm a pretty good servant. But he said, no, you're unprofitable, number one. And he said, you should just be recognizing you're just doing your duty. Used to in this country, there was much more value placed on the concept of duty. Much more. And those of you, and I see Brother Tony nodding his head, yes. But just the generation before mine, really, I think. The generation or two before mine, there was much more value placed on the concept of duty. Duty to God. Duty to family. Duty to country. There was much more respect given. And we are living in a generation that is very self-centered and very focused on what I want and what I think and what I deserve. Young people are growing up with this mentality, even if their parents haven't taught them it. Young people are growing up with this mentality that they deserve the good things of life. Whereas the answer is go out and work hard for it. You want something, work for it. You don't deserve it. Young people, you don't deserve a nice home. You understand? You don't deserve the fanciest car on the road. We don't deserve those things. If you go out and work hard and you earn it, then you're blessed by it. But at the end of the day, all of us still this morning have a duty. We have a duty as citizens to our country. We have a duty as part of a family. We have a duty to God this morning. We have a duty in the body of Christ. We have a duty to perform. And the Lord was reminding his disciples that as servants of the Lord, that you should recognize that we've just done our duty. And I would challenge us this morning as we leave here today to reflect upon our duty. What is my duty? What is my duty as a parent? What is my duty as a father? What is my duty as a husband? You know that duty is not always a pleasant thing. Give you an example. I don't know how many here just love to change dirty diapers. Now I will say it almost gets beyond, it's almost an impossible duty for me because it makes me literally sick. But there's a duty. And I don't think anybody says, oh, the baby's dirty again, wonderful. I don't know anybody that does that. But do you know what? The babies still get cleaned up. Do you know why? Because it's a duty. It's a responsibility. It needs to be done because there's a greater good. There's a greater cause in mind. There are things in life that we are called to do that is a duty to us. And even in the Christian life, and we'll address this in a little bit, but sometimes because we could put so much focus on love. Love is the motivation of duty, folks, in service to God. Love should be the motivation, but there is still duty in serving God. There is still duty. I love my wife, but you know, there are some things I do for my wife that I don't really, in the flesh, just jump up and down inside because, oh, wonderful. There are some things as a husband, I have a duty to my wife. I have a duty to my children. I have a duty to God's people. I have a duty, and all of those duties don't mean it's your first choice because you enjoy doing it. And I want to remind us today in love that as children of God, there are things that we have a duty to do. And if we begin to neglect our duties in our worship to the Lord and in our service, we're going to begin to suffer in other areas of our life. And it's important, and because if I don't perform my duties as a husband, and I only do the things that make me feel good, what kind of marriage am I going to have? It's like, well, I didn't feel like that today. And my wife really needed something. And I said, I didn't feel like it. And I had a duty. But you recognize if we begin to neglect our duties, we are going to lose the sense of duty. Did you get that? If we begin to fail to fulfill our duty through time, we're going to even lose the sense of duty and responsibility that we have in many different areas of our life. Whether it's school, work, part of this congregation, the body of Christ, our personal walk with God and what He wants of us, if we fail to fulfill our duties, we're going to begin to suffer until we're not even affected by it anymore. When someone says, I feel a sense of duty. Do you have a sense of duty this morning? As husbands, as wives, do you have a sense of duty? As parents, I have a sense of duty to my children. I've been entrusted. I have a responsibility. I don't want to lose that sense of duty. As children of God, saints, we should have a sense of duty. That I have a duty to the things of God, a duty to the work of God, a duty to the fellowship of God's people, a duty to perform the call that God has given personally to each one of us. We have a duty to perform it. And at the end of the day, we're just unprofitable servants. Lord, help us to fulfill our duty. I'd written down my notes. You know, there was an age, and I mentioned there was much more respect and regard given to duty. People would not miss work when they stubbed their toe. Do you know our generation really? You call in for work. I can't work today. Well, why? Well, and they have so many excuses. Stubbed my toe. You can't work with a stubbed toe. And that's just an illustration. But they're losing their sense of duty. When they don't go to work, the children don't go to school, and the parents tolerating Johnny not going to school because he was tired and didn't feel like it. Where's the sense of duty? There is a duty to be at school. You say, well, I don't really have a lot of work today. But there's a duty to be there. And if you say today, I don't really need to be there, and you're not there, there's a sense of duty. I was going to ask you, Zachary, if I could use this for an example. I forgot. He's on the spot. The other day, he had a lot of work to do. I mean, he's had a lot of work to do. But he texts me from school and said, Dad, do you mind if I check out early? Because I get more work done at home. He had a couple of classes that were free for him to work on these subjects. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, if it was a special project, I don't mind doing it. But I said, it's easy then for something to become a habit. And then people start losing their sense of duty. And I didn't want to be responsible then every day. It's like I can get more work done. Then don't even go to school. And he's saying yes. But there was something there. There was a deeper level that I had in my mind. Now maybe you understand why. There was a deeper level of duty that I wanted him to know. And I said, the only way I'll do that is if we have a letter of understanding from the teacher and your counselor. I never got that letter. But the point is, I was thinking of duty. Work is the same way. The service of the Lord is the same way. Mention someone doesn't go to school. People wouldn't miss church over a runny nose. There was a time that people would not miss church over a runny nose. Because they had a sense of duty. I have a sense of responsibility to be at work. I have a sense of responsibility to be in service. I have a sense of responsibility to be at school. I have a duty to my country. I have a duty to my family. I have a duty to the people of God. And even with our duties fulfilled, we are still what? Unprofitable servants. Not worthy, not deserving of recognition, not deserving of accolades of men, but Lord, I want to fulfill my duty because of you, because I'm a servant. The grace of God is going to come when we need it. And we are unprofitable, but God is the one that deserves all the glory. And do you know whether we fulfill our duty or not, it doesn't change God's glory. God is still all powerful, but the Lord wants us to fulfill our duty that others might see Christ. Read a statement a while back that really stuck with me. Man said our best services, see, when we perform our duty, those are services, right? When we perform, our best services are mingled with imperfections. In light of that passage, when Jesus said, you're unprofitable servants and we're just fulfilling our duty, we're just doing our duty. You know, we can do our best, and if we do our best at the end of the day, the Lord honors and respects that. Because we're all imperfect people. Our hearts should be perfect before God this morning. Our love for God, our desire for the things of God. But at the end of the day, I'm still human, and I still make mistakes. But are we giving our best service? See, that's duty. A duty to God that I've done the best. I've done the best that I know how to do, and the Lord will honor that. The definition of duty, and I was struck when I looked it up. The definition of duty is to owe. To owe. O-W-E. It means to be indebted to. We've done that which was our duty. In other words, I had a debt. Do we have a debt to the Lord this morning? Can we ever repay it? Do you know we're never, it doesn't matter how much we sacrifice. If we all came and said, oh, we have done so much for God, our debt is paid. Oh no, I'm still an unprofitable servant. It was His mercy that He forgave me. And it's His mercy that keeps me day by day, and I can never repay the Lord for what He's done for me. And so the Lord Jesus was telling His disciples, you owe a debt. You owe a debt to the Lord, and that's what duty is. That, Lord, I owe You something. And I have told, and we can never repay the debt, but I've tried to teach my children, you know, when someone says, oh, you're going to pay for something, they say, oh, let me pay for it. And their hands are folded up like this. What you're saying is, I really don't want to pay for it. Would you please pay for it? But I'm saying, I'll pay for it. Say, pull out your billfold. Ah, my billfold's down there. Pull out your billfold and say, no, let me pay for it. And pull out your money. At least you're showing some good faith. The same thing is, has anybody ever owed you all money? And they say, I see a couple heads nodding. And they say, oh, I'll pay you. Then pull out your billfold. I'll pay you back. If they owe you $100 and they say, oh, I just don't have the money. Well, what do you have? How much do you have? I don't have $100 that I owe you. I'm sorry. How much do you got? And it's a good faith effort when someone owes you money and they come and say, do you know what? I owe you this and I'm sorry. There's been some downturn in the economy. And I spent some money unwisely and I don't have it all to pay back, but I plan to pay you back. I don't have the $100, but I've got $10 and here's a start. Do you know that $10 means a lot to me? Because that $10 means you're putting forth an effort. Maybe you're not able to do it all, but I know in next week come back with another 10. In next week come back with another. That's the way it ought to be with God. We can never repay Him for what He does, but can we give Him what we have? Can we say, Lord, I love You so much, and there are a lot of things I'm not able to do, but Lord, I'll do what I can. You know, some people look around the service of God, and they say, well, I can't do that, and it seems like they're more qualified than I am, and they're more gifted than I am, and they can testify a little better, it seems, and they can pray a little bit more eloquently, and they can teach better than I, and so I'll just... Oh, are we given what we can? Are we saying, Lord, I'm unprofitable. We're all unprofitable servants, but I have a duty because I owe You. And I want to give what I can. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is what? It's duty. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God. Keep His commandments. I said duty is not always pleasurable. There are obligations that we have when we consider duty to our country, duty to our family, and duty to God. There are going to be areas in life, if you stop and ask yourself, what are my duties? You know, people that don't want to hear about their duties are an irresponsible people. Don't talk to me about my duties. Well, why not? Do you know we all have duties? I have duties. Oh, wonderful. The floor needs to be vacuumed again. Clothes need to be ironed again. Oil needs to be changed in the car. There are just duties. You know, things we have to do, it's not, and it doesn't mean we enjoy doing them, but it's for a greater good. And if we could see this morning in our duties for God and in our homes that there's a greater good. There's a greater good. It's more than saying, well, I don't feel like doing it today, so I'm not going to do it. Do it anyway because it's a duty. It's a responsibility. I look at the chapel. There's a duty to clean the chapel, the bathrooms. How long has it been since the bathrooms have been clean? If you don't know, where does our duty lie? It's just a question. Who's supposed to do it? Well, I don't know. Well, but there are things that when we see a job that needs to be done, then we should be compelled by duty. Someone said, well, someone else can do that. Well, who's someone else? Me? You? You see what? When we see things that need to be done, whether it's in the home, I'll tell you the other day, I threw something in the trash and I missed. Am I the only one that ever misses when you toss something? And I didn't feel like picking it up. I'm telling on myself. I kind of looked at, and then I remember duty. I thought, if I don't pick that up, who's supposed to pick it up? My wife? I picked it up. Because it's like, who's supposed to pick up after me? That's my duty. I made the mess. And yes, it's, you know, we all have different duties, but if I did it and I could have just gone and dropped it in the trash and I chose to do that and I missed, then I have a duty to pick it up or tell one of the children to. But understand that duty is something that compels us. Duty is something that we should be compelled to do. And I mention our motivation for duty for in God is love. Because if we are just doing our duty and that's the extent of it, well, I'm coming to church to do my duty. Do you know we have a duty to be in service this morning? We have a duty. And if we don't fulfill our duty, we lose the sense of duty. Remember? But if something is just an issue of duty, it's not going to carry us through. Because the duties that we fulfill in our work for God should be compelled because of love. Lord, I love you. And I do this because of love. And we want to be reminded of the reasons we have duties. Think of your duties in the home. Why do you do those? Duties to your husband or wife. Why fulfill them? And I think, why am I doing this? It's my duty. If my wife felt like everything I did for her, I was doing because of my duty, I think something would start being lacking in the marriage. Yeah, Michael's just being responsible. That's the only reason he's doing it. No, I want my wife to know that I love her. That's the reason I'm fulfilling my duty. So duty without love becomes drudgery, right? Duty without love becomes drudgery, which means if we are feeling a drudgery in our duties for the Lord, I think, and I know for myself, and like I said, I'm preaching this message to myself, to step back and say, why do I even have this duty? Because God called me? Because the Lord gave it to me? Why am I doing it? It's because I love you, Lord. And then I think about the song that talks about being alone with God. And it says, there I find new strength. For what? For duty. Responsibilities, because I owe the Lord a debt. And I want to be faithful. My mind has gone back this week to those, and we were talking about some on the way to service. They're not dead. They're actually younger people. But people that are fulfilling duties. I was thinking about someone that lives quite a long way off. And I just, when we go to camp meetings, it's someone that I always see busy doing work. They're not up behind the pulpit, but they're working. I told Renee, I said, I admire that. I admire that because they fulfill this duty. Do you know all of us have a duty this morning? It's different. We have different responsibilities, but some of our duties are very similar. Duties to home, duties in the congregation, duties in the body of Christ. Lord, help us to have a sense of duty and to recognize if maybe I'm getting a little tired. You know, we all get tired of duty, don't we? I mean, am I the only one that sometimes just get a little weary? Well, it's time to get alone with God. Be not weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? Doing the right thing, fulfilling responsibilities. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So if you're tired of duty this morning, you're not alone. Okay? You're not alone. But don't lose your sense of duty. I entreat you in the Holy Spirit this morning. Don't lose your sense of duty. But find a place alone with God and begin to reassess, why is this my duty? What is my duty? And what effect does it have on others around about me? What effect does it have on God's people? What does it have effect does it have on the congregation? Let us not be weary. To the Sunday school teachers this morning, don't be weary in well-doing. I know that there are times for all of us, whether it's singing, Sunday school teaching, preaching, and ministry, that sometimes you just wish someone else would just do it. Is anybody else? You don't have to raise your hand. But you know what? That's very human of us. And we have a duty. I believe this is what Paul was saying when he said be instant, in season, out of season. In other words, I don't believe he was saying, well, when you don't really have anything. I think he was saying, when maybe you don't feel that special, those special feelings, he was saying, you have a duty. And I want to perform that duty because we're unprofitable servants. And I want to remember I have a responsibility. So let us not be weary in well-doing. Reading and praying every morning, you know, we have a duty to seek the Lord's face. And I know sometimes you may open up your Bible and it just seems kind of dry. Seems like you're not really getting a lot out of it. And you get down to pray and it feels like your prayers are getting about as high as the ceiling. And the next day it's like, why, you know, didn't really get much yesterday. But do you know we have a duty? And if you keep fulfilling your duty, you're going to have those special times the Lord comes in and just really opens up the ceiling and lets your prayers go on through. The Lord's hearing them anyway. He's hearing them anyway. But just sometimes we don't feel like they're getting through as much. Don't lose your sense of duty to talk to the Lord. Don't lose your sense of duty to every day. Start your day with contact with God. We have a duty this morning. There are hindrances of duty. The enemy's trying to hinder us from our duties with the things of this life, with entanglements, with involvements, with our affections. And the enemy is trying to erode people's sense of duty. I've watched people who one time had a sense of duty, and I've watched them lose their sense of duty. And it's sad. It's like, what happened? And before we lose our sense of duty, we need to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a refreshing in my spirit. I need you to come in and remind me of why that's my duty. Give me a renewal. If you're a teacher, if you're in your job at school, sometimes you students just need to ask the Lord to give you a renewed sense of diligence and perspective of why I'm doing this schoolwork. You understand that there's a renewed sense that I'll have a understand the duty because of a greater cause down the road. There's a lot that can be said on this subject, but our politicians, and I don't want to be political here, but I'm not talking about Democrats or Republicans. I'm speaking generally. Our politicians in this country have failed to do their duty. They're doing the very thing with Social Security that they're putting corporations, people in jail for. And they're doing that in our country. They have failed of their duty. Why? Because they're taking the easier road. The easier road is to do what I feel like doing for the moment without making some hard decisions and some sacrifices today for the betterment of tomorrow. I believe they failed. We have a deficit You know what that is? That's spending our children's money. That ought to be illegal. That ought to be illegal. It's not doing their duty. People that go into debt and are not physically responsible in their own homes, do you know that's not doing their duty either? Brings a lot of added stresses and problems in the home. If at all possible, do anything besides that. Do you know, have you all ever heard the term, I know Stephen has, I'm sure, dereliction of duty. You heard that term before? I want to read to you the UCMJ. Do you know what that stands for? Uniform Code of Military Justice, Article 113. I want to read to you what it says. Any sentinel or lookout who is found drunk or sleeping upon his post or leaves it before he is regularly relieved shall be punished. If the offense is committed in a time of war by death or such punishment as a court-martial may direct. Dereliction of duty. Someone that is put on guard duty. You see, guard duty? Responsibility. This is your place to fill. And they say, especially during a time of war when the enemy is out there trying to come in and you go to sleep, by the articles of war here, they can be put to death. They can be put to death. Do you know that we are in a time of spiritual warfare this morning? The enemy is trying to divide families. The enemy is trying to split up and break up the relationship between husbands and wives and parents and children. He's trying to divide God's people. He's trying to cause division amongst God's people. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle this morning. And if there is ever a time to rise to the call of duty for the sake of our family, for the sake of our congregations, for the sake of the work of God, it is today. That, Lord, I'm going to stand and fulfill my duty. It's not always pleasant. It doesn't always feel good. And there's sacrifices involved. But saints, we have a duty this morning. And if we let down on our duty, we also are going to start finding spiritual death. Spiritual death because we're not fulfilling our duties. I don't want to be derelict in my duty. We won't take the time. We're going to close here in a few moments. But do you remember when King David prepared all of the goods and the materials for the building of the temple? See, he had a duty, but he couldn't build it. That was someone else's duty and responsibility. And he told the people, he said, Solomon, my son, is young and he's tender. He doesn't really have a lot of experience. And he said, who is willing to consecrate their service to the Lord? Who's willing to consecrate? Who's willing this morning? I look out over the great needs, even amongst God's people today. Folks, there are needs in the body of Christ. Needs locally. We have needs here in this congregation. We have needs on a national level in the body of Christ. There are some real needs that we have. And if we don't have a sense of duty, who's going to fulfill those needs? This is our dispensation of the gospel, saints. God has entrusted you and me with this generation. And the call that God gave or that David gave to Solomon, I believe the Lord is giving today. It's like, who will consecrate their service and say, Lord, I'm going to do my duty. It is my desire to die in the line of duty. We see people coming back from war, and their caskets are draped with the American flag. And we honor that. These are people that gave their life because of duty to their country. But what an even greater honor to be able to die serving God, giving our life for the cause of God. It is my desire to die in the line of duty because all of us are going to die. So are we going to die being derelict? Or when the Lord comes back for us, will He find us at our post of duty, being faithful and diligent. It may not be a big job. It may be not something that's recognized by everybody. I think about Brother Tony's testimony Wednesday night about the man that cleaned the stream, that cleaned the spring, that fed the town with water. And when he was gotten rid of, all of a sudden it affected the whole town. They called him back. We all have a place of duty this morning. And I will say this in closing. If you ever feel like that you're not important, I want you to know you're important this morning. You are needed. Each and every one of you are needed. And if you ever start to feel like, well, people don't care anyway, you know, a lot of us feel that way sometimes. Now, I feel that way sometimes. Is that okay to tell you that? I feel that way sometimes. Sometimes it feels like in the flesh it would be easier just, you know. But you know what? We have a duty. And I want you to know that the devil is trying to cause all of us to think that people either don't care, whether they act like it or not. We're doing this for God, see? We're unprofitable servants, aren't we? You're important, and you're needed. And when you go from here this afternoon, I would encourage you to think about your duties. Lord, what duties do you have for me to do? Would you encourage me? Would you strengthen me? Would you give me a greater sense of duty? But help me to go beyond the duty to the motivation. And it's because of our love for God, our love for each other, our love for our families. And that gives reason to stay faithful. I would encourage you, I'd like to invite you to join me in dying in the line of duty. That's my goal. We say, I don't want to die, but we're going to one day. And I want the Lord to come back saying, these are some people that have been faithful. May God bless you.